This morning when my dad made the decision not to preach today, we talked about what to do, and we decided not to go with a Jonah sermon. I'm not serious. We decided to go ahead with his sermon that he had prepared, which is the beginning of the Revelation series. And so we'll begin reading for our Bible reading this morning in the book of Revelation. We'll read from the first chapter and from the last chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, and Revelation 22, verses 16 to 21. So Revelation 1, beginning at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And then turning to the last chapter, chapter 22. Beginning at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Following the sermon we sing from Psalter 261, and the title of that song is The Victories of Jesus Christ. And you will see that is an appropriate response also to the message which we will hear. The sermon title is A Tremendous Introduction to the Last Book of the Bible. Dear congregation, have you ever seen someone play an accordion? Derek Bars plays that instrument, and he often did so at our prayer meetings during the summertime. I bring up the accordion now because as we start a sermon series on the book of Revelation, that instrument helps show how we will go about it. Think of the opening and ending of Revelation as the two ends of the accordion, which a player has in his hands. When the player begins playing, you know how that accordion then opens up and different folds are displayed. Well, as we open this last book of the Bible, we will see seven main sections or seven main visions brought to light. And each section or vision, as I hope to show, actually repeat the same message, only with increasing urgency. The visions from different perspectives and with different goals will reinforce the gospel message over and over. The book of Revelation is especially a picture book full of graphic and sometimes strange pictures, which we will try to explain as we go along. As one commentator put it, this book discloses its meaning by impressing vivid, sometimes startling pictures on our imaginations. And as a picture book, I hope it will especially draw the attention of the children and youth too. One fact I have to mention to you right away as we begin is that there are parts of this book that are not easy to interpret and on which there are various understandings. And my aim will not be to get lost in some of the details of the text, but to keep bringing out the clear overall message of the text. Regarding all the symbolism and pictures of this last book and its so-called apocalyptic language, you must know, too, that I want to promote a very humble mindset in growing through this book. Let us be afraid of anyone and everyone who has the book all figured out and knows exactly what it means. I will try to bring out, when needed, what it clearly cannot mean and expose certain errors in interpretation on this book. But I know already I won't always have a clear answer as to what it all means with what it all says. I hesitate to begin this series, for who am I to lead the congregation through this book of the Bible? And yet, it is a rich part of God's Word, and it is good to work our way through it. I hope and pray the series will be a very revealing and upbuilding and a means of grace by the Holy Spirit, equipping God's people and saving sinners. Coming back to the instrument of the accordion, let me say that the purpose of this book of Revelation is very much to lead God's people in the way of Christian comfort and melody and song. It was written in a time of terrible persecution, and the author John, the apostle, is himself exiled on the island of Patmos for the gospel's sake, when the visions of this book are given to him by God, by means also of one of his angels. Now, just as an accordion gives music, so we can say the book of Revelation is like a song celebrating the triumph of the Lamb, the song of victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. The book of Revelation is not, first of all, a book telling about future events, but rather a book telling of Christ Jesus, and it magnifies especially the greatness and glory of Jesus Christ as only Savior and Supreme Lord over all. It is sad and wrong when this book is studied more only to figure out the end times rather than to proclaim to us Jesus Christ, the Savior. This series of sermons, with God's help, will be successful if the fruit is not so much that now you can have all the future figured out, but rather that you see Jesus Christ in the text time and again, and that He be all the more precious to you, and the Savior you look to truly, and more so, as we hasten to the final and eternal day. I would like to add yet just a few details of interest as we are about to start our study. Did you know that there are at least 300 references to the Old Testament in this book of Revelation? I read of a professor who refused to lecture on Revelation till after he had studied thoroughly the Old Testament books, especially also books like Daniel and Ezekiel and Zechariah, from which Revelation borrows some of its picture language. As with all Scripture, this book too needs to be understood in the light of all of Scripture and in line with the rest of Scripture. You should know too that the book of Revelation has 43 references to God's throne in heaven. It is a book telling of God's supreme rule over all things and His splendid faithful care for His church and kingdom in and through Jesus Christ the Lord. The book should give us reason many times to bow in humble faith and repentance and adoration before the Lord. Again, as a certain commentator put it, at any point in the book, the message is about a great throne, a lamb who is actually a lion, and a fearsome foe who always threatens more than he can deliver and whose doom is certain. Keeping those three things in mind as we go along will help keep you on track. One person who wrote a short commentary on this book entitled it, "Be Victorious, for you are an overcomer because of Christ's sure and glorious return." The point here is, this book of Revelation is meant to encourage and equip us in the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I encourage you all to read through this book once and more than once in the coming months. I encourage you all to write down questions you might have about the book and also about the sermons in this series on the book. And you may give them to me in my mailbox or by email. I will do my best to try to answer your questions as we go along. I may also give some additional explanation in your mailbox or in the bulletin from time to time. Well, having said all that, let us look at the text itself now and study the tremendous introduction to this last book. It is tremendous, as I hope to show, for it is in the first three verses even so instructive, so important, and so inspiring. Let me first read these opening three verses again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Notice what makes this introduction so instructive. The book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. The word revelation, or apocalypsis, means literally an uncovering of something hidden, the making known of what man could not find out for himself. In other words, this book is about the unveiling of great truth beyond our grasp ever left to ourselves. This book sets forth gospel truth, and it is gospel truth about Jesus Christ and His person and work, and His church and kingdom, which we could never know if God did not take care to show it to us. The book of Revelation makes clear to us the gospel, not just in its initial form, but in its climax, with its final fulfillment to come. Both the content of this book and the origin of it should have us realize the book of Revelation is so instructive. In verse 3, the book is called Words of Prophecy, and we do well to take heed to this. The word prophecy does not simply mean prediction. The word does allow for prediction, and there is certainly a liberal amount of prediction in this book, as one author states, but prophecy points more to the divine origin of the words. This is a prophetic book in the sense that here in this book, it is God that speaks to us. The prophet was a man who could say, "Thus says the Lord." And in this book, John the Apostle writes what he was given to say from all that he saw. Verse 2 tells us about the Apostle John, that he bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. What is unique about the book of Revelation from all books of people in all of history, also about the end times, is that in this book, we are given the true and everlasting perspective on life and on history and on the future. The God who gave this book is the all-knowing, all-wise God who knows the end from the beginning. He is the God who in Jesus Christ is described as the one in whom is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 verse 3. The God who gave to his Son this revelation concerning him is the God who is from everlasting to everlasting, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, as it says in verse 8. And shall we not be instructed when this God speaks, and when this God, the only true God, shows in pictures things to come, all in relation to his Son, Jesus Christ, as the only Savior and Lord above all? In the book itself, with the seven visions, we will learn about so much divinely inspired truth that relates to the here and now, and to the end times, and to the last judgment, and the hereafter. The book of Revelation is about the wonders and treasures of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, which God gave him to show his servants. His servants describe God's people. And this is the happy title of all who know and follow the Lord, who want to be Christ's servants, his followers, devoted to him in spirit and in truth. Do we value this title for ourselves before God, his servants, even his willing slaves forever? I think here of the words of Psalter 426 verse 9, based on Psalm 116. I am, O Lord, thy servant, bound yet free. Thy handmaid son, whose shackles thou hast broken, redeemed by grace, I'll render as a token of gratitude my constant praise to thee. Our position with this introduction should be like that of Samuel in the Old Testament. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Is that your posture before this book too? The truly wise include the book of Revelation in their whole perspective on life, and only fools ignore it and discount it. Do you have the book of Revelation and its teaching included in your outlook on all of life? As confessing Christians, surely that should be the case. Notice how this introduction is instructive in stating also how we should respond to this book, as well as all the Bible. The book should be read and heard by us not only, but kept by us. That is, observed and followed, lived by and out of by you and me. If you will be led in the way everlasting and will be used of God to point others in that gospel way, then also the book of Revelation needs to be taken most seriously by you and me. Indeed, as verse 3 states, blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things, literally are keeping those things, which are written in it, for the time is near. Oh, may God make our study of this book to be a time of splendid gospel instruction for us, for you and for me. But let us move on now to see that the introduction to the book is so important too. How does that come out in the text? Well, just the fact that this book again is from God, and that it is a revelation of Jesus Christ, just that fact alone should tell us it is so important. For all of us need Jesus Christ to be saved from our sins. And without Jesus Christ for us and in us, there is no hope for us. But with him, there is eternal hope and endless help for us in all our needs, for body and soul. But let me mention some specifics that underscore this introduction and the whole book as being so important. Notice how twice in the introduction, reference is made to the realities in this book of Revelation coming soon. In verse 1, we are told this book tells of things which must shortly or speedily or suddenly come to pass. And in verse 3, we are told those things which are written in this last book, we must pay attention to, for the time is near. The point here is that this book of Revelation is telling of events and teaching us things which could well take place at any time in any age, and we need to be alert and ready, watchful and prepared. It is not a time to let love for the gospel and love for God and our neighbor grow dull and cold. But as we noted in the last weeks of youth and catechism, let us take care to be growing like cedars in God's ways. And as Paul says of the Thessalonians, let us take care that our faith grow exceedingly, and that true love to God and others abounds more and more. Will you see this book as it is introduced to us as being so instructive, not only, but so important for yourself and others? We live in the last days, as the whole New Testament age is called in different places. We live in the perilous times of which Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3. And we need to take care in these times not to become sleepy and sluggish in God's ways. For suddenly, indeed, in a time when you think not, Jesus warns, even then the trumpet shall sound. And the Savior will return to this earth for the final and eternal judgment to come. The fact that Christ has not yet come only brings out all the more that He may soon come. We are so much closer now than ever before, making it so important to hear and follow also this book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you convicted of this as well? And does that show in your life too? That you take most seriously what the Bible teaches, including Revelation? Another way the introduction itself brings out the importance of this book is the fact that we are told that God used an angel in the relating of the visions of this book. All through the book, too, angels are involved. A quick survey of the Bible shows how almost all the important events in God's redemptive plans include angels. Angels were there with the creation of the world and in different important Old Testament events. But then especially also with Jesus and His birth, His suffering and death, His resurrection and ascension. And they will also be involved with Jesus' second coming too. How exactly an angel of the Lord was involved in giving John the revelation of Jesus Christ is not easy to understand. But we read both in chapter 19 verse 10 and 22 verse 8 that John at one point fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed him these things, as recorded in the Revelation, only to be told by that angel, "See that you do not do that, but worship God." Does the including of faithful angels in the communicating of the revelation of Jesus Christ underscore for you the importance of this divinely inspired book? There is also the note at the end of the book, which we read in chapter 22, which emphasizes the importance of this book. I mean here the fact that a very solemn warning is given in verse 18 and 19 of that last chapter. We read there, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Well, don't these imply the great importance of this whole book and the urgent need to take heed to the whole of it and not to minimize or discount any part of it at all? God's word is not to be trifled with. And here God says, all who will do so, either taking away from what God says or adding to it, will reap the consequences most dreadfully and definitely so. As Christian Church, we want to take this warning to heart and urge all others to do so too, stressing the importance of what God says when He speaks and when He shows us things. Will you and I show a reverent and submissive, humble attitude to God's word as given also in this book? Isn't that always the only right way to respond to God's word in all its 66 books? And what reason so to respond? For as the introduction to the book also shows, this book of Revelation is not only so instructive and so important, but also so inspiring. How is it inspiring even in its introduction? Is it not inspiring that the introduction already includes a word of blessing and tells the way of true blessing? Altogether, there are 7 Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. And it may be good for us to read through them for a moment. The first is in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Then in chapter 14, verse 13, chapter 14, verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. And then chapter 16, verse 15. It says there, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And then 19, verse 9. Chapter 19, verse 9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true sayings of God. Chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. And then in verse 14 of chapter 22. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. You see, the focus of all these words of blessing are to lead us from sin and destruction into God's marvelous light, and to have us truly and steadfastly looking to Jesus Christ and abiding in him and following after him always. The book of Revelation is especially a book of encouragement and comfort for God's people, even for all who seek and serve the Lord in accordance with his word. Is that not inspiring? God does not delight in the death of the wicked. The book of Revelation will show most clearly the certain destruction and the righteous eternal doom of all who will not trust and obey the Savior. But the thrust of the book is to bring out how God will be there for his people, and none who look to him will be put to shame, whereas all who refuse to own him as only Savior and Lord will come to eternal defeat and endless shame, no matter what men may think or say or do. The book is inspiring too in that from the start it is clear God triune in this book will come alongside of his church in all their needs. And he shows here so much care and compassion and gives so much hope and comfort for all his people. The Apostle John, the only remaining disciple of Jesus at this time, is suffering persecution for the gospel's sake. And the churches and cause of the Lord is something he understandably is concerned about. And then the Lord gives John this revelation of Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ and his eternal kingdom, power and glory. And it is so uplifting, so powerful, so beautiful, so wonderful, so awesome. God promises victory and triumph for all his people, no matter what the odds may seem. And it is all in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Revelation brings out Christ's cause cannot and will not fail. When you read the self-description of the God who gave this revelation of Jesus Christ, as He is described in verses 4 to 11, and that this God is so great and gracious and glorious that He wanted the revelation of Jesus Christ in this book to go to all the seven churches, even those churches so faltering and failing, it is stirring to see God's tender care and enduring faithfulness, even in spite of countless shortcomings and failings on our part. The future glory too, which is to come, that God promises to all His people for Jesus' sake, is something to remember and often to consider in the struggles and hardships here and now in this sinful and cursed God-despising world. To know too that in the end, Satan and all his demons will forever be in the lake of fire, and all wrong ever done will be justly dealt with by God's hand. It is such a reassuring book for the living Christian, even in the darkest and most difficult of circumstances. So also commentator William Hendrickson entitled his commentary on Revelation, "More Than Conquerors." So let me stop here and end with referring again to the instrument, the accordion. We have read the beginning and the end of the book, and like holding the accordion, as we are about to, as it were, study the melody and sing the song of this book, opening up its seven sections, I hope already it is music to your ears and a song for your mind and heart, regardless of circumstances you may be in. For the Christian, the revelation of Jesus Christ is a book that God wants us to count for Him in hearty devotion and praise, seeking too that more and more might come to know Him while it is yet the day of grace. The introduction itself, so instructive and important and inspiring. Does it make you too want to dig into this book and learn its gracious message and its glorious melody, even for as many as have ears to hear and truly believe in Christ and follow Him and His Word? Those who don't and won't so live, the book of Revelation makes plain, will face certain and terrible judgment together with the devil and his demons. What reasons then to take also the last book of the Bible most seriously? Will you and do you do so along with the whole of the Bible? Someone commented on how the Apostle John was used by the Holy Spirit as his instrument to write three kinds of inspired literature. He wrote the Gospel of John and the three epistles of John and the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the Gospel, John's theme is, believe in Christ and you shall be saved. In the epistles, his theme is, be sure to trust and follow Him in spirit and in truth. And in Revelation, the theme is, be ready to meet the Lord at any time. How often, too, you find in Revelation the words, he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, let him hear. Yes, for what the Spirit has to say to the churches, also through this book of Revelation, is just so tremendous, you don't want to miss it or miss out on it at all. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Thus says the Lord. Amen.